from the Washington Capitals, a former Medicine Hat Tiger, Jason Chimera joins us. Chimera, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing? That brings me back to the old days of Medicine Hat. Yeah, that's nice.
Mr. Ridley still driving the bus.
I remember that he was quite something. He would do the games and hop on the bus, and that was back in the day we'd have to log hours, and he just went all night driving the bus. He was. I don't know if anyone could do that nowadays. It's crazy. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was the play-by-play voice and the bus driver doing it all, and he's still calling games for the Tigers. He's a legend. Did you go back? Were you one of the guys who went? Didn't they had a big night honoring?
Yeah,
him,
no, I went back. That was probably 3 years ago or something. Yeah, but I went back for sure. He's he meant a lot of the guys to the players, and he was kind of like a father figure to a lot of guys because he was always right there with us, and he was the guy that kind of calmed me down after games, and he just said so that kind of happens, and he was kind of like a third, fourth coach on our team because he was always a guy that was right there for us, and he sat you down and talked to you for a while, and just a great guy overall, and he's a quality human being for sure.
How is your golf game?
It's up and down. It's okay.
Because you were like a 4 or 5?
Yeah, I was.
What was the lowest you ever got?
I was around scratch before
scratch
when
golfer
when I played a lot, but I like to blame it on my kids. But you gotta, as a hockey player, you try to blame it on something. But I'll blame it on my kids are here with me, so yeah. I'll blame it on them.
Now your young guys, he's already golfing.
Yeah, he golfs with me the odd occasion. He's got a good little swing. It's fun to bring him out there because he can do 18 holes now, so it's fun.
Oh, wow.
So it's fun to bring him out.
Oh, that's a great way to get that allows you to get back on the course because you just say, hey, honey, I'll take you know what?
Exactly.
I'll take him off your hands and go golf.
Yeah, so even my daughter went to the Kinsman pitch and putt with some other people, the Quashniks, the other day, so it was great. It was fun. Yeah.
Now, last time I had you in studio, we talked a lot about Alex Ovechkin and obviously, the most dynamic goal scorer in the league. And you had mentioned openly that, he's a guy who had to work on his overall game. Well, this year he still led the league in goals and was significantly better away from the puck. Like, it's kind of, you give me your vantage point of the evolution of Alexander Ovechkin this past season.
Well, I think as you play a lot of years in the league, and he's obviously... He's a guy who wants to win a Stanley Cup, and he's one of those guys who voices it in the room. So I think he's one of those guys who just I think he's learned to adapt over the years. The defensive game has come a long way. He still can score goals, and I mean he's still I don't if I could score any of the goals he scores. It's just amazing how he scores goals and where he scores goals from. So and defensively he's gotten. Every year he's gotten that much better. So he wants to win. I think you got to learn how to win eventually. And so hopefully, always say like, this will be our year. And hopefully this will be our year.
The toughest playoff loss you ever had this season?
It was tough. Yeah. Cause I thought, we had everything going for us and that game 5 in New York really hurt. We were up 3-1 and we had the game 1-0 going in the final minute. They tied it up and it was kind of a fluky goal. Braden Holtby, our goalie, wasn't letting anything go by him. And just a lucky shot bounced off one of our defensemen and, went in net and then they got another bounce in overtime. And that's the way it goes. You don't finish off teams and they come back and they win a series. And, that was tough. It was a tough one to handle for sure. And that was probably the toughest because we it was one of those things you can see yourself moving on and all of a sudden you're moving out. So it's a tough way to go out for sure.
I look at your career and I look at the playoff runs of the Capitals and I would say that I know, you guys went to game 7 again in the semifinal in 2012, but I honestly thought this year's team was a better team overall. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. Yeah, that's a fair assessment for sure. I think the team overall was, I think we're more suited to go a long run than we ever have been. Our lines up front were pretty deep, and in our defense, we added some, Orpik and Niskanen on the back end, which was huge for us. And then and Holtby playing the way he was, it was one of those times you kind of look back and hopefully don't look back and say, that was the year. And hopefully, you never know. So I mean, but I do agree with that it was one of those years you're just like you're well suited to go a long way.
Well, you look at your team, and you guys didn't lose a whole bunch in the offseason. Holtby signs a big long-term contract for you. And in today's game, sadly for me, a fan of offense, it's becoming more about goaltending and defense, it seems, every year. And to have a goaltender like that, who I think most people look and say, okay, this guy's a top 10 goalie who clearly could win games, you start there. And the moves your team made on the blue line last year, you got to go into the season where – when you approach a season like this, you can never overlook anything, but you feel, okay, we're a team that's really a contender. How do you get through the dog days of the year when you expect your team to be that competitive? Is it more of a challenge when you know you're a good team?
I think it's not hard to get up for games because every team is so good. And I mean, you go right from, you know, the 30th place team all the way up to the first place team. There's such little discrepancy between teams, and the way everyone plays is just—it's amazing. Every game is just such a dogfight to win. It's a hard league to win in, and so I don't think it's not hard. The dog days are not that hard anymore to get up for sure.
Your team added a few guys up front, TJ Oshie as well as Justin Williams. Give me your thoughts on those two and what they'll bring to your team.
Yeah, we lost a few guys like Brower, Fair, and Wardle that up front, which are really key guys for us. But then you gain guys like those guys and. You know, especially Oshie, he's a young guy, and he'll be a lot of good years. And Williams has improved himself as a playoff performer. So I think it's just adding those two guys is great. And with all our defense coming back and stuff, it's going to be we got ourselves lined up pretty good again. So hopefully it'll be good.
You lost your line mates. Do you know who you're playing with next year?
No, I lost both my line mates. Yeah, so I was like, man, what do I got to do now? So especially my good buddy Wardo, we hung out a lot and. My brother from a different mother, we would always say. So he's a fun guy to hang around. He'll be my dinner partner. So I'll have to pay someone else to be my dinner partner on the road.
Jason Chimera from the Washington Capitals joins us in studio for a few segments to kick off the Thursday edition of the Gregor Show. Your team, you know, you start at the top. You obviously need star power to win, to draw. The fans have become pretty diehard in Washington. I want to talk about a few of the young guys, Kuznetsov and Johansson. Who do you compare Kuznetsov to? What do you think's his long-term potential?
I don't know if you compare him to any. You know, he skates a lot like Sergei Fedorov did with, you know, just like kind of. It seems like he wasn't moving his feet, but he's still going past guys. It was the weirdest thing. Like in playoffs, you think he's not even moving, but he's kind of going past guys, just kind of like heel shuffling along. And I played with him a bit in playoffs. It was fun to play with him. I thought that's probably the one of the better times I have playing hockey because it was just like one of those things that you play this kid is so skilled to get you the puck in different situations. And he banked a couple pucks off the end boards a couple times. And my kids are yelling in the background. So that's what the noise is in the background. So new part of Jason Gregor Show, babysitting. So bring your kids here. $10 an hour is good. Good deal.
Well, normally Majot is babysitting. Normally he takes him on tours of the building. So he'll probably do that in the next segment.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, no, he's one of those kids who's just because that's all we're talking about. He is one of those. He's just a special player. I think he's only getting better, and he came. And I think he waited a little bit longer to come in NHL, which helped him develop as a kid. I think, and then he's just a kid who wants to learn and. You can't see enough good things about him.
Have you noticed the difference? Like from 2006, I was crunching the numbers. So, you know, in 2006, way more offense till there is now. Is it the coaching? Is it the goaltenders are better? The more of the onus on defense? Why is it so much harder to score now?
Well, damn video. Everyone knows what the hell you're doing all the time. It's like, yeah, we're robots out there. Let's go here. Okay, I'll go here.
It's true, though.
But, yeah, right? I mean, back, you know, AHL games we played back, we didn't have much video back then, probably because mostly we, you know, probably a lot of the coaches couldn't afford it. And they didn't have the video guys back then. So I know in NHL, video is such a big, huge part of it now. And it was just like one of those things, you know what teams are doing on the power play, and you kind of adapt on the go as you go, kind of like more of a ad lib it out there than you used to because it, you know, videos become so good. And, you know, I mean, it just, you got different angle videos. You got angles from the top. You got angles from the side. You even got, you know, GoPro cameras for Pete's sake, some people. So, I mean, it's just amazing where it's come.
Is it good or bad having that much video, do you think? As a player who plays the game and a guy who played maybe when there wasn't as much, is the game as fun to play, or is it more robotic?
oh, the game will never be not fun to play. I mean, it's, I still have a best, you know, my job is probably the best job in the world for sure. You know, you play hockey and get to hang around with 20 of your best buddies every day you go to work and play the game. So, I mean, as a kid growing up in Canada, you don't get much better than that. That's for sure. But the love never goes out of it. I think when you get out there, I think more of the power play and stuff like that affects more because you can you know what the other teams are doing. But 5-on-5, you're still kind of more ad lib. You're obviously you have your neutral zone systems, your forecheck systems, but it's not like you kind of have to make stuff up on the fly too. That's what's the best about our game. You can't, every play is not that much dictated when you're out there. You still can ad lib a bit, and video hasn't taken that much. But I think if without video with the power play, I think you see a lot more goals for sure. I think with penalty killing and power play.
Jason Chimera joins us. Barry Trotz, first year as a head coach. I was reading an interesting article. He said earlier in the year, you and him had a few disagreements in coaching to player on how to go about things. What were the disagreements? And disagreements aren't necessarily considered a negative at times. He didn't look at that. He just said, you know what? Hey, we saw, you know, we had different philosophies on different things. How did that go adjusting to a new coach as in your 35-year-old?
Yeah, I think you always have an adjustment with new coaches. I think when you know you have. With Hunt, you know, first when we got there, Bruce was there, and then you know Hunt's came in, and then Oatsy was there, and then now Trotsky was there. So everyone has their different philosophies. You get used to different people, and different people come in and have different ways about doing things. And I don't know it was disagreements. I think we just were butting heads a bit. I think we're both maybe stubborn people at times, and I'm older, so I think I know it all sometimes, and I think maybe. The coaches sometimes don't see where the player's coming from. I think until you have that, and then you eventually figure your way out. And I think we did at the end, which was great. And I mean, you know, my marriage is not always smooth too. We always, you know, we hug it out after, and then we go. You know,
no, it's very true. Yeah, you have to have some disagreements.
And, arguments healthy, right? You got to, you know, I wouldn't marry a girl that I agrees with everything I said, and that you know that's what a marriage is all about. You give and take a little bit of stuff, and you learn to adapt. I think you for sure you learn to what to pick your battles where you know okay that makes a lot of sense, or sometimes you got to go back in the mirror and look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, maybe, you know, maybe he's right in this, and then there's things that where you stand your ground on and you think you believe firmly. I think that's why you know you're an individual, you also believe different things, but also when you got at the end of the day, you got to kind of look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, maybe he's right in the play. You look at the things a little differently as you get older. I think you kind of try to adapt a bit more, and I think that's a good thing about life. You just keep on, you know. I think people throw different stuff at you. You keep on getting better.
Jason Chimera of the Washington Capitals joins us. What did Trotz bring to your team this year? What was the biggest thing he added? Whether coaching in the locker room.
He preached family a lot. He preached you guys to be closeness in the locker room and be on the ice. And I think you're more willing to go through the wall for the guy if you do that. And I think it showed this year towards the end there. We're really kind of gelling it. Like you said, I thought we had a lot more to give in playoffs. I thought we were going to go a long way. And I think that's conducive to, like, with all our big people on our team, big personalities, there wasn't really anybody that didn't like each other. Everyone got along, and there was no, I can honestly say that no one really, I wouldn't say I want to go out to dinner with, everyone went with dinner with everybody, and everyone mixed it up, and you know it was a pretty healthy locker room to be part of. It was a lot of fun.
From the Washington Capitals, Jason Chimera, in 36 years of age,
36 wow. years young.
Well, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Now the one advantage as guys get older in the league, they start to lose a step. You've always been one of the fastest guys. Do you feel that's going to maybe allow you to play longer? Just the speed factor more than anything.
I think so. Yeah, I think. Can't slow down. I mean, I think the game's so fast now. It's just it's crazy how much the kids are faster, you know, faster, stronger out there. And you know, I got to give good credit to my trainer Barry Button, Premier Strength. He's done an unbelievable job for a lot of years. And you know, it's one of those things that just keeps those little fast twitch muscles going. And I think he's done a phenomenal job. And you know, credit a lot of him for him too.
How have you had to change your training over the years? Like, have you had to rework a program or bring in kind of new things? Because it seems the training, they're always evolving and learning new things.
Yeah, I think Barry's done a good job kind of adapting over the years. He just, you know, we keep on learning new things, new stuff during the year, new drills you can do or new quick feet stuff. And I think you kind of you stick with him and you trust him, and he's done a great job kind of adapting over the years. And if anything, with adoption, I just kind of maybe take a little more days off as you get older, because you can't, sometimes rest is a weapon sometimes. I never believe that, but it is. I think sometimes you tend to overtrain, and I think with young kids, you see it all the time with kids training way too young, and it's crazy what kids are going through nowadays.
Well, it was funny when I was talking to you before, you were joking how when you were younger, put more weight on the bar. You know, let's see how much I can lift. And obviously as you get older, you're like, I don't need to squat 450 pounds because there's never a guy that I have to. Yeah, I want leg strength, but you can get more leg strength by doing more reps of maybe 320 faster or something.
Yeah, I think my back would fall off if I did that much weight now, I think. Or something would blow for sure. I think I don't want to say what blow on air, but I think it's you notice it for sure. It's just I think you just got to keep your power not necessarily strong, but I think you do a lot of stuff that's better, more for more powerful stuff, instead of being just, you don't have to be a power lifter for sure. I think you just need to keep your strength and keep the power is more important.
What are your go-to moves then that you feel help you maintain your power?
Well, toe drag. Oh, you're talking about.
I know, not on ice, of course. We'll get to your skills.
Oh,
later.
Yes,
of your power drills off.
Oh,
ice.
Yeah. No, we do. We do a lot of sled pushes and stuff like that. And Barry, Wednesday is always a fun day because it's circuit training day. It's pretty. We do a lot of quick feet stuff. A lot of a lot of pylon drills. You go around and a lot of young bucks in the gym. You know, a lot of sea wolves will send out to. The Anchor Seawolves, shout out to a lot of guys in our gym for sure, and a couple of New Hampshire guys, and a lot of young guys that you try to keep up with, like Connor Hardawa and Brett Cameron, those kind of guys. You keep up with those guys, and
they're probably trying to keep up to you.
They're fast for fast young guys, so you could try to keep up with them, and that keeps you young.
Jason Chimera joins us now. Keeping up with the guys on the ice and your toe drag moves. Ovechkin, really high-skilled player. Yeah. Backstrom, pretty high-skilled player. Kuznetsov's got a good bag of tricks. You had Alexander Semin in Washington for you, who I don't think anyone debates his skill level.
Yeah,
I think there are some who might debate his work ethic, and you talked about this before, and he went to Carolina, and now we see him in Montreal. But how often do you work on like the toe drags in practice now as a 36? Like, do you still try to have fun, or are you more like, okay, you know what? I know what my game is, and it's not necessarily the toe drag.
If you see me play, I say it best. I think I got knocked in the next year in the AHL one time when I tried to toe drag around a defenseman, and his shoulder went directly into my chin. And I think I was on the ice for about 30 seconds, wondering where the hell I was. So that was the extent of my toe drags, and now I just kind of dump it in and chase and keep it simple. And the simplicity of my game is better than my fancy stuff for sure.
Who on Washington maybe has the best skills that aren't talked about? Like, when you see in practice, you know what, if the game was played maybe different, just his pure puck handling skills are a lot better than people think.
Well, I always say Nicholas Backstrom doesn't get enough credit. He's a guy who's always he's never in an all-star game for some reason.
Nah, that's ridiculous.
He always leads the league in assists. He's never on all-star games. And I mean, I still think he's one of the best, if not the best two-way centerman in the league. He's one of those guys who could pass, he could shoot, and I mean, he's a good kid. And but his skills are unmatched. A lot of people that people don't know about, because he kind of gets hidden behind Alex, and which Nicky likes. He doesn't like being in the limelight. He likes just kind of laying the weeds and doing his thing, and he wants to win. So his skill level is so high for sure. And like in that Kuznetsov guy for sure too. He's one of those guys who's, his skill is, it's crazy. Some of these guys do in practice. Even always sometimes these guys do things in practice. You're just like, holy, pretty cool to watch.
Well, Ovechkin, I would think, is a player who you get to watch him every game, and so maybe after a while you just be like, oh yeah, that one time or whatever. But for fans around the league who don't get to see him every game, like he is such a and he's 230 pounds, and so if he's not scoring, he's not afraid to go in the corner and run a guy over.
Oh no, he'll run you over. He's, I mean, he's, you try to push him around in practice, you can't push him around. He's solid. It's like a piece of, he's a 2x4 trying to move him. And you know that's cemented in, and you can't move the guy. He's unbelievable. Like some of the stuff, I guess as a hockey player, you notice the little things that happen on the ice during a game, and just the little things that these guys do are just, it's amazing to watch. And you know, you get the best front row seat for it, for sure. It's pretty cool.
Jason Chimera of the Washington Capitals joins us. We saw Victor Hedman kind of come on a big stage, and everyone was like, wow, what a great young defenseman. John Carlson close?
Oh yeah, I think he's there. He played on an Olympic team, and he's been you know, I think you see that with kind of Greeny getting let go. I think passing a torch on to him, and I think he's going to carry a big load for us. He's one of those guys, very high skilled. He could play both ends. He's a good defender too in our own zone. He plays penalty kill, and he's got a huge shot in the point too. So I think he'll only get, his tip of his iceberg is only, he's getting better and better, and he'll continue to get better for sure.
Now, baseball mania in Canada is really kind of at the height because the Blue Jays are in first place for the first time in 22 years.
They always find a way to disappoint us, though, don't they?
Yeah, well, they have in the past. This year, I think they'll make the playoffs.
Well, that's what everyone says.
I'd be stunned if they didn't at this point now, the way they're playing, and you look at their lineup. The Washington Nationals have had pretty competitive teams over the past few years. I know, and you're a baseball fan, so you had a chance to see them a lot. Which guy in Washington were you like, okay, if he's pitching or if he's hitting, that's the guy I want to see?
Well, before I left, we wanted to go see Max Scherzer pitch, and then anytime Harper's playing, he's just pretty dynamic young guy, and the whole team, I mean, it's fun to watch. You Jason Wirth, and and the pitching staff's probably the best pitching staff in baseball, and you go and watch those guys. It's not a bad night anytime. It's a great ballpark to go watch the game, and it's a great place to watch baseball for sure.
I saw Washington. It was interesting. Their sports teams, at least on social media, they try to support one another a lot more than I find in other markets. Are the teams like? Do the guys on the Capitals know the national players? Maybe different than you had in some of the other NHL cities you played in.
Yeah, I got to know a pitcher. He plays in Detroit now, Dom Guarzolani. But he was a relief pitcher in Washington at the time, and he kind of really introduced me to a lot of guys. A lot of baseball guys are kind of similar dudes to the hockey guys. I get along pretty good. And now, like Pfister and all those guys came to playoff game, like Harper and Gonzalez and all those guys came to the playoff game. It was pretty cool to see those guys there. And then we kind of went to their playoff game and so it's kind of a camaraderie where you want the other team to do well because it's good for the city, good for sports. And when Washington was playing in October, it was a great place to go watch. And I mean, it was too bad they didn't go further, but it was just a fun way to get involved. You know, start to know guys, and when you know guys, when you know guys personally, you tend to take more interest in it, and you really care about the other team for sure.
Has Washington become a hockey town?
Yeah, I think I see it through the grassroots level too. Now with my son playing Kale and in the Kettler ice there, and I think you see it growing up now how popular it is. I think Ovechkin and Backstrom and all those guys did a lot for hockey in that town, and I don't think it was too popular before those guys got there. And now all of a sudden, last six, seven, 8 years, it's come along so much. And you see from USA Hockey Development now, it's a huge market that every step growing up from mites and stuff like that is just packed. So there's a lot of kids in each team, and you can see the excitement level for sure in hockey.
You, Jason Chimera, joined us. You have been in the league. You know, you came in a long time ago. When you look back to your rookie season,
long time.
2000, right?
I had hair back when I started.
Wow, did you?
Just a little bit. I like to say that.
But you think about it, like you debuted in the NHL, and your first game, of course, is 2000-2001. You came a regular in 2002-2003, and 13 years now, and you're 36 years of age. Do you become do you appreciate the game more as you're nearing the end, where they got 4 years, 5 years left?
Yeah, you appreciate it. I think. I appreciate it two times as much as I did before, because you're kind of a young punk just playing the game, and you're like, oh, don't, and then you just everything now, from the road trips to the places you go, the places you stay, the people you meet. I mean, it's, you learn to just kind of soak it all in and enjoy these moments because they don't last forever. And you see kind of more, you're closer to the end than you were at the beginning. So, and you know, we were playing Doug Waite's team in the playoffs there in the Islanders. And I thanked him after because, you know, those guys were so, you know, those guys were very important to my development because they were the nicest guys in the world. Jason Smith, Ethan Moreau, Steve Staios, and Tom Marchand, Mike Greer, and all those guys growing up. And when I was playing in Edmonton, they were the nicest dudes ever. And Doug Waite and Bill Guerin and those guys. And you don't have to be young to a nice guy, nice to a young guy, but they were always, they treated me with the best respect. And, you know, I thanked him for it. I don't think I ever thanked him for it. So it was just one of those things. It was nice to thank him for that because it means a lot to a young kid. And I think with those guys, you learn a lot from those guys.
Knowing how that mattered to you, are you that guy now in your 30s to ensure you go out of your way to the young guy to make him feel comfortable?
Yeah, I always try to, you know, in training camp, you always try to make the guys feel welcome. And not, you know, it's scary enough as a young kid coming in and you're seeing Alex Ovechkin, Nick Backstrom. Then you see a guy like skill guy like me on the ice. Yeah, I'm very intimidation, like with my skill on the ice. So it's kind of, you try to make him feel, just joking about that, Greg, you laugh at that joke.
Well, I was just reading a lot of your friends are chirping you on text here. So I'm going to get to those in a second.
No, but you try to make him feel comfortable. It's a scary enough place coming in as a young guy to your first camp. I didn't say a word. That's pretty, that's pretty rare to see me not say a word now, but you just sat there and kind of took it all in and you were scared.
What was your most memorable or intimidating moment of your first training camp?
Well, one of my first one-on-ones was against Kevin Lowe and, you know, I was in a Rexall place and kind of going down and
he chop you?
No, he just, went down. I was trying my hardest and to go one-on-one, he just kind of slapped the puck away from me and I went in the corner. I'm like, okay, this is not going to be so easy. I mean, I was a skinny little kid from Medicine Hat. I weighed 160 pounds and going down to Camelot, I was already scared now, so I tried to go as hard as I could and he just slapped the puck away. And I guess that was pretty intimidating. It was pretty pretty cool moment though.
Because you were a fifth round pick in 1997 by the Edmonton Oilers, yeah. And you were really kind of the late developer you were, a lot of people they see Jason Chimera now and he's 6'3" and he's 215 pounds and you were not close to that.
No.
When you came into the WHL, do you remember how big you were?
Yeah, well, I did a couple cycles after the WHL before steroids got a big slide before they started testing, so I did that.
Okay.
And then, that's what my premier strength did for me. Yeah. I'll just show it. No, I think I didn't stop. I remember Central Scouting come around, and I used to put weights in my shoes because I was only 150, and I used to put weights in my shoes because I wanted to weigh like at least 160. I think the weights got me up to 155 or something when they came around. But it was,
what kind of weight? Like, what would you put in your shoes?
Well, we put like rocks and stuff in the bottom of your shoes. I remember that vividly when I was in Medicine Hat. Guys are like, well, you got to weigh more because, like, what do you mean, like. Like, well, you're not going to draft if you're 150 pounds. So I bought putting weights in your shoes and like guys were stuffing like their underwear full of stuff. It was pretty funny when the stuff like that, when you think back to those days.
Man, it's changed so much.
Oh, it's
right. Like,
it's
like your Central Scouting, and you, as mentioned, you were drafted in 1997.
Yeah.
It's nothing like it is now.
No.
Right. Like, did you even have a combine back then?
No, there's nothing. No, I think they only invited the select few, but there was no combine back then for sure. I think teams invited you there to maybe do their own little testing. I know San Jose did that, but not too many. There was no big combine for sure when I was younger.
Jason Schmer from the Washington Capitals.
I never got invited.
you didn't get invited.
I don't know about it.
So when did you, was it a progressive growth spurt or was it all of a sudden, bam, you grew 3 inches? Was there one real time where all of a sudden you said, hey man, like, I'm not going to get manhandled anymore?
I think after I got drafted, I grew like three, like you said, like over the summer, it was just like, because I came back, remember some guys said like, well, did you do steroids? I go, no, I think it just, I was like, remember I used to drink milkshakes before bed and I was trying to gain weight. I couldn't gain anything. Now all of a sudden when I came back 1 year, it was just like, you added 20 more pounds and three inches was crazy. So it was just like, kind of out of nowhere.
Now, is that your family? Was your dad kind of the same? Was he? Because I look at my brother and I look at his sons and they're pretty much the same. Yeah. Where he was a guy who didn't really gain that extra 20 pounds till he was 19 or 20.
Yeah, I never asked my parents if they're late bloomers or not. I know my mom was always taller. She played basketball when she grew up, and my dad was always a, you know, taller guy. So, and my son's small too, like for his age. You know, but I think you know, maybe he's one of those guys who have a late growth spurt. And
well, I know his uncle Brett. He's a Smurf. So
yeah, he's a Smurf. Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah. Well, the Carlisle size is not that tall.
No,
so no. So it's
when he goes to K Days, doesn't get to go on any of the
so
rides.
Hopefully, the height, the, you know, the kid's got my height, and then the smarts and the good looks. Hopefully, that'll be on my wife's side for sure.
Now, before I let you go, do you still play ball hockey at all?
Oh, I don't know. I don't play anymore.
No, no. When was the last time?
Oh man,
you used to play for the Edmonton Bullets.
Yeah.
Any truth that the Falcons ball hockey team, you could get under your skin?
Oh yeah, all the time. Huh?
Do you have a short fuse when you play ball hockey?
I did back then. Yes, yeah. It's very short fuse. Yeah. I remember they were chirping me. They were like, "What? You know, you're an NHL guy. Why do you have to be out here and play with us?" And I was like, I don't
know. You're like, I don't know if I have a comeback for that.
Exactly.
One.
I couldn't say nothing. So I had a short fuse back then. Yeah. No.
Years ago or?
No. This is a while back. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is a while back.
So do you ever go play rec league men's hockey with your buddies?
No, I don't. No.
No.
I try to stay away from that because then, you know, avoid the. There's sticks all over the place, and I don't want to get the randomized.
Well, you could just wear a full shield. No one would chirp you if you wore that.
Well, but yeah, exactly. People, my mom wants me to wear a half shield, and that's a battle. So
I was going to ask you that. As you see more players doing it, because I said, you know what? Eventually, there's going to be a trivia question.
I'm going to be like McTavish, the last game with a helmet, without a visor.
I said, I wonder who's going to be the last player who plays in the NHL.
I want to hold out until the last guy.
To be the last guy.
I don't know who else would be got grandfathered in, but hopefully I could be the last man standing without a visor.
That'll be
another goal.
I got a
1,000 game goal and a Stanley Cup. You need a Stanley Cup and then maybe a last guy without a visor. That'd be a good goal.
Well, 1,000 games, that you only need 131.
Yeah,
right. So basically 2 more years.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Do you going into your last year of your contract, and you've done this many times before? Do you, as you get older, do you worry about it less or do you worry about it more?
Like playing more?
No, just like the contract issue, or is that something you don't really worry about?
You just take care of yourself. I mean, it's like trade deadline. I remember I used to be so scared of trade deadline because you don't want to move, but now, I mean, you have no really, unless you got a full no trade, you don't really have a say in things. So, I mean, it's not nothing you got to worry about. It just, if it happens, it happens. You just move on and you kind of make the best of it. So I think those days are a little, and you know, if you play good enough, you get another contract. So that's, if I don't play good enough, I won't. So, I mean, that's how it should be.
Matty Rupp's wondering, are you still a long dart champion? Are you any good at lawn darts?
My dad used to be unbelievable at lawn darts. Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
oh, yeah. So it was your father who was
my
the
father,
champ.
Yeah. My father was a good horseshoe guy and a lawn dart. I was always okay, but my dad would always school me at horseshoes. And
did you ever play lacrosse growing up with Howard?
No, my brother played with growing up. I remember going to watch Howard in Orangeville and little places in Ontario to watch him play and in BC and stuff, go watch him. And I remember we always made trips of it as friends to go watch him.
So your bro played, but you didn't?
I didn't play lacrosse. I played soccer growing up. I was never a lacrosse player growing up.
Lacrosse is, I look at it now, and there's so many more kids that are playing. It's great for
hands.
Oh, it's
great. My son plays it. I think it's the best thing for hands, and it's so good. Like the way they cradle the ball and the way they could use their wrist and just the flexibility. You know, I think it's a great
sport. So he'll have better hands than Pops in a few years?
He probably already does have better hands than me.
Jason, always good to catch up with you. Enjoy it in Washington. You guys should have a very competitive team again. And, you know, obviously, one bad bounce sometimes. And that's got to be the hardest thing because you look back, as you mentioned, in Game 5, that bounce where Holtby looked unbeatable and just an unlucky bounce off your defender.
Well, that's how close it is, right? I think we're a minute away from moving on to the conference finals, and now all of a sudden we're out looking in. So it was definitely tough to handle, but you know, you gotta learn from it. Hopefully learn from it, move on.
Well, we'll talk to you next summer. Enjoy the you're driving back to Washington.
My kids got so much stuff now. I gotta pack golf clubs, hockey stuff, skates, bikes. I mean, man, life's changed. You used to just pack a suitcase and the hockey gear away you go. Now car seats, everything. We got it all.
Well, safe travels, and we'll talk to you next summer.
All right. Thanks, Griggs.